Bernard de Montreal. Preparatory communication number 38. Madness. Madness is a state of the ego that fails to get rid of the thick layers of his astral imagination. And that succumbs with time to the pressure of this feverish imagination on its mental center. Because of an emotionality detached from any psychological support sufficient to maintain the balance between the ego and the astrality of his memory. The astrality of the memory of the ego comes from the accumulation of subjective and emotional experiences which, instead of increasing the power of the ego, delays it and chains him into the astral layers of his lower consciousness. Madness is a step towards darkness, that is, towards those layers of consciousness that prevent the ego from living in light, that is, in real intelligence. Madness on the material level disappears when the ego changes plane upon death. It is precisely at this moment, however, that he becomes dangerous, for it is after death. Because of the lack of light on the plane where he finds himself, that he will seek to lead other men towards madness. Madness, in fact, is a circle that links life and death. For the ego, when he has left the material plane, only recognizes what he is as memory. However, in the case of an experience where memory is negative, the latter can only exert a negative influence on the minds of emotionally weak men. You can only do what you are, dead or alive. Madness, as man lives it, always depends on his past. Madness, as man understands it, depends only on his emotions affecting his intelligence. As long as madness is only a temporary retention of real intelligence in man, it is not dangerous for him. Because it only emphasizes too much sensitivity to the forces of the soul, to the psychic being. Often, a man who passes from one level of consciousness to another temporarily experiences a state of madness, that is, a temporary incompatibility between what he knows internally and what he must connect with the outside. But as soon as the forces of the soul have stabilized the emotional, this same man returns to a balanced external and internal state, that is, stable, without irreconcilable conflicts with his psychological reality as an individual and a citizen. Many men suffer from madness. They could very well be liberated from it, if psychology would one day admit that man is a multidimensional being and that the astral part of him is linked to a dimension of the mind that governs his emotionality and can lead him to his loss, if his will is too weak and his intelligence uninformed. Whatever the nature of madness, Its principle is always the same, the mental and emotional weakening of man. It is only by opening up the real intelligence of man that this drama can be brought to an end. While madness attests to the impotence of man's will, it attests to the vibratory power of the astral spirit in man. Now, the astral spirit is a world in itself, a dimension of human planetary consciousness attached to everything that perverts consciousness and blocks its real intelligence. Most men do not suffer alienatingly from this astral consciousness, because they have enough emotional and mental balance to overcome its influence. But those who are weak of will, below a certain sufficiency, those who are endowed with a very great sensitivity and who do not manage to understand and grasp it well, can easily fall prey to influences coming, without their knowledge, from a world, from a dimension of their nature, which does not correspond to the laws of harmony, beauty and order. So that man, afflicted by the strong influences of these worlds, gradually loses the battle between the true self and the one falsely presented to him by forces that seek only to make him similar to themselves, that is, destructive and backward. Madness is not only the result of the decrease in human intelligence, but also of the growth of spiritualist forces that are lagging behind towards and against man. The phenomenon of madness is a twofold phenomenon, meaning it originates in the weak man and grows in the man as his weakening increases. We believe that the world we inhabit is made up only of matter, while the latter is made up of force elements, part of invisible planes. Those who suffer from madness are unconsciously or consciously linked to these force elements, which work through the supernatural world of their imagination, through images and symbols or subjective thoughts that raise fears and false aspirations in those who are moving more and more towards madness. Although madness is only a tacit common ground between the spiritual world and the psychological plane of the weakened man, this same common ground coincides with the very nature of weakness and constitutes the plane behind which these force elements work, seeking to destroy the psychological harmony of man. Man is unconscious of the force elements, because he does not suffer from them when his mental and emotional state is sufficiently balanced. But these force elements begin to manifest themselves in his mind when a sufficiently advanced deterioration of his balance puts at risk order in his mind, allowing them to disturb the balance of his psychological reality. While a normally balanced man seeks peace of mind, this same peace cannot coincide with the activity of the force elements that work beyond his creative and constructive imagination. This is why man always needs in his life a point of reference, a religion, a philosophy, a balance of some kind, according to which he can live on a security, but on a subjective and fragile security. And if he loses this landmark, it is easy for him to fall prey to the force elements that constitute the ultimate dimension of spiritual energy. That is, dispiritualized energy. All this spiritualized energy comes from the memory of the human experience and coincides with the attachment of this memory to the spirit of man. Man does not need this dispiritualized energy, meaning dead, to live. And when he becomes prey to this energy, control of his material life becomes more and more difficult, because this energy is opposed to his creative and instantaneous intelligence. While spiritualized energy is a living and creative energy, its opposite, dispiritualized energy, is dead and destructive. However, the weakened, meaning dispiritualized man, becomes more and more in harmony with these force elements. And there comes a time in his life when some kind of shock will make him lean towards madness. Because madness is the very bottom of the abyss where these elements live and work. Man must consider madness as the extension of his weaknesses, of his dispiritualization. This is why it is so important for him to know himself, to realize his weaknesses in order to eliminate them. That is, to spiritualize in the energetic sense of the term, and not in the spiritual sense of the term, his being. The further away from the center of himself, man is more likely to succumb to madness, conditions helping. For he can no longer, at some point, live by the forces of his own spirit. Spiritual forces that preserve him from a kind of gradual alienation from his creative intelligence power. Although it is in the center of himself that he is most at ease, the most confident of himself, although it is there that he discovers more and more his intelligence and learns to use it, man often finds this movement towards the center of himself difficult, because he feels alone and accustomed such as he is to the opinion of everyone, or to the dispiritualized energies from the outside. This movement often seems to him at first to be immensely difficult and radical. And since his strength is not at its maximum, he finds it hard to believe that he can, alone and by himself, judge his own thoughts and feelings, according to a rule of measurement that can only come from himself. Thus, as much as man's movement towards madness is painful, so much can the movement towards the center of himself. Because in both cases, the ego is confronted with an aspect of reality that goes beyond the ego. As much as madness is imperative on the weakened mind, so much the great inner maturity, the great centricity, the great vision of things can be painful at first. because the ego has not yet found its place in a definitive way. In the case of madness, he gradually discovers the power of the inner impulse. In the case of maturity, he discovers the weight of wisdom, discernment and pure intelligence. The elders knew that madness was the work of anti-man forces, but they never succeeded in building a psychological science sufficient to deal with these forces. With the advent of materialistic science, psychologists succumbed to psychoanalytical pleadings, without understanding the hidden background of the disease. Although they developed interesting techniques to somewhat hinder the dynamics of force elements, but without understanding their laws. With psychiatry, biochemistry entered into the service of science by shaking the innumerable bridges of which the mental circuit of man is made. That is, his mind, making man more and more vegetative, but allowing him, at least often, to continue his material existence without too many jolts. In both cases, however, the madness kept increasing the number of his victims. These laws being eternal, must be understood according to the laws of creative intelligence, and not of the mechanical and subjective or symbolic intelligence of the intellect. But madness has its reasons that reason does not know, and that only creative intelligence can detect. One of these reasons is the link between the madman and the spirit of a being who is no longer on the material plane, and who already knows death. Life is a passage between matter and the invisible. This passage is the perfect opportunity for a disembodied person to communicate with a living being and pass on ideas, feelings, which can depress him. The man who helps to relieve a person struggling with madness must understand the whole game of madness. That is, the whole game that is created in the mind of the patient, to make him sicker or to keep him in his illness. Since the force elements that constitutes the intelligence of the madman must be discerned and neutralized, the one who helps him must have discernment. That is to say, this unshakable faculty of creative intelligence which allows him never to be caught, trapped, by false intelligence, and which constantly allows him to trap this false intelligence, in order to force it to let go of the mind of the one who suffers, but who does not have the discernment sufficient to see behind the veils which constitute the lie of this fantasy and faulty intelligence of the element force. Man is not yet in perfect intelligence because of his emotionality. It is difficult for him to generate this intelligence when he faces the darkness of the madman's intelligence. The darkness of the madman's intelligence is a component of his emotionality weakened or reinforced by the lack of integration of the real personality within which the real intelligence sits, and of the false personality, the seat of the distorted intelligence by an electrical disorganization of the force field that constitutes the astral body. If he is to be treated, that is, brought to his real intelligence. The one who watches over the madman must perfectly understand the weakened intelligence, that is, be totally free of it in terms of influence, which leads the treating person to constantly thwart the smallest nuances of the weakened intelligence, by reinforcing it with words derived from a stable and perfectly self-assured intelligence. Madness is a negative condition of reality. That is, it requires the sufferer not to be able to see the illusion that creates it. However, to see the condition that creates it requires that an intelligent external element can force its clear vision on him, in order to break the power of the negative force element that has no power over the real intelligence of the one who helps. But the madman, on the other hand, has a stubborn head. That is, he wants to get out of his condition. But he does not always want or can't follow to the letter what is transmitted to him by the intelligent external element, because the force element in him constantly works against the intelligence of the one who comes to his aid. Therefore, the higher the vibration of the intelligent element, the greater the power of effect, and the shorter the duration of mental illness. If the weakening of intelligence is delayed by an intelligent external element, madness may persist a little, but cannot be reinforced, because everything being vibratory, the highest vibration must dominate the lowest. But this implies that there must be contact between the patient and the person who can help him. This contact can be physical or occult, but it must be present in the experience. The major problem of mentally unbalanced people comes from the very nature of the patient's thinking. Not being aware of his real intelligence. That is, not being able by himself to excite his real intelligence and impose it on his troubled thoughts. There occurs in the affected person an intoxication with his subjective thoughts that traps him between his true self and his false self. When the false personality of the one who is affected by the negative force element comes into contact with the true self, whose personality increasingly coincides with the occult intelligence, the true self must be firm in its consciousness, that is, in its occult or real intelligence, in order to be able to guard against the abuses of the madness of the unbalanced. For it is precisely this firmness, that is, this mental calm, that allows the intelligence of the true self to constitute itself into a very great force that will serve to disengage the false personality from its link with the false intelligence. False intelligence is a component of false emotion and personality that cultivates false emotion. The false personality is the product of an accumulation of influences that over the years cover the true self and disengage it from true intelligence. True intelligence has no power over man. That is, it cannot overcome influences, because it requires a minimum of subjective emotionality. And man's false education nourishes his emotionality. And as long as the latter has not reached a sufficient stage of evolution allowing him to put an end to influence, his true intelligence is powerless. Madness is not always desperate. That is, it is not always terminal. Like any other disease, it can be stopped in time. But it must be understood. That is, realized as a painful stage of transition between the development of the true and the false self. The true and the false personality. The true and the false intelligence. But like everything in the realm of the mind, time is an important factor, and it must be considered in any transaction between the sufferer and the helper. The one who suffers does not have the capacity to decide his reality clearly, and the one who helps must follow him by the speech, until the one who is suffering admits that he begins to see the game of false intelligence in him. What is true or false intelligence? An important, very important question. First of all, what is intelligence? Intelligence is a well-being that manifests itself in the balance between the true self and the true personality. We have a tendency, a false tendency to say it better, to believe or think that intelligence is an intellectual faculty. What a mistake! Intellectual faculty is the product of education. Intelligence is an opening to the mind, that is, to the power of energy to transform man. It is this intelligence that constitutes the framework of the true self and aligns it so that the true personality can be lived. Madness is a connection between the sensitivity created by the energy of true intelligence and the inability of the false self to absorb this energy. However, this powerful energy, as it is, destroys because it cannot be repelled. This is why the false self and the false personality are increasingly bogged down in the false, because the true one cannot be perceived because of the subjective emotion that makes it too arid, too difficult to live alone, without external help. On the other hand, if the sufferer is helped by an external element that has enough real intelligence, he will get away with it. In the case of the man who advances with a fast pace, the true self must make way for the false self in a radical way. The false personality is then jostled. That is, it is confronted with all the possible lies it can absorb in order to force it to overcome them. Very important point. It is here that man's imagination is subjected to strong pressures that can cause him to experience a state of temporary madness. Lie is as important as truth in man, because one or the other is part of the false personality. Faced with the truth, the false personality does not suffer, because the truth is the measure of what he believes, of what he is ready to accept as being right in his eyes. No work is done then, because there is a balance between the emotional and the lower mind. But in the face of falsehood, the imbalance is growing. And if the suffering person succeeds in destroying its causes, that is, if he succeeds in overcoming the emotionality that binds him or allows the false to manifest itself, he emerges victorious from the struggle and discovers the true self, the true personality, and lives off the true intelligence, freed once and for all from the false and also the true. Mental calm is established and subjective thought disappears, giving way to objective thought, creative thought, true intelligence not based on the duality of lies and truth. Madness is generated in the astral consciousness and interpreted by imagination, so that the true self can only assert itself after the astral imagination has been replaced by the creative mental imagination. But mental imagination can only be firmly the product of true intelligence when the emotional is under the control of the mind. That is, of the higher mind. As long as imagination is the prerogative of the ego, subjective emotion colors it and renders this imagination powerless. That is, it will only serve the astral instead of serving the mind. Madness is at the service of the astral and not at the service of the higher mind. He who goes to the higher mind finds himself obliged to cross the desert of astral imagination to climb the high peaks of pure imagination. That is, the perfect mind, where the image coincides with the movement of the spirit, and not with the appetites of the ego. The ego must learn to use his imagination. He must be intelligent. That is, he must know by vibration the value of his imagination and the function in his life. Otherwise, he will be rather embarrassed, because imagination has no value for the ego only when he understands the laws of his real self. Now the real self is a condition of the spirit, and not some value of the ego. The ego is always subject to his real self. That is why, as long as he is not sufficiently in the real intelligence, his true self is not in perfect balance with him. And that is why he must always be on the lookout for his imagination, which conveys, according to the emotion and subjective thought of the ego, until the day when the latter is in balance with the true self. Then imagination is safe and sound. That is, it can no longer be astral. The danger of madness is impossible. Man is free to advance then towards the infinite limits of pure intelligence. Madness is the continuity of the unconsciousness of the mind through the experience of the ego. As long as the ego seeks to balance his life experience within the framework of his unconscious or astral memory, he is subject to being disturbed by this memory, because it represents all the negative tendencies accumulated since the first descents into matter. The spirit, that is, the real intelligence of the ego, can only coincide with him when he is free of this memory. For it is the unconscious memory of the ego, his astral consciousness, that makes him deviate from his eventual appointment with real intelligence or spirit. While madness is the imperfect relationship between the ego and the spirit, the latter must be monitored, for madness can strike the ego anywhere and at any time, depending on the state of its emotional and inferior mind, that is, on the influence he receives during such and such incarnation. But the last incarnation is always subject to the historical conditions of its time. And these conditions today do not always coincide with the best of all worlds. That is why, today, as living conditions become more and more difficult for man, the ego is in greater danger of being damaged, because his unconscious memory, or his astral nature, has already been impregnated to the maximum by the cumulative influences that have determined the curve of civilization. At this point of involution, the traditional factors of stability that ensured a certain serenity to the ego, such as religion, philosophy, morality, stable society, are no longer there. The ego then becomes in this time an easier prey of madness. To fully understand the basic mechanisms of madness, we must above all look in the direction of the excessive interference of symbolism in the mental life of the ego. Symbolism is one of the great restrictions on real intelligence in human life, for it is based on the emotional value it generates in man and only serves to educate his inferior intelligence, to make him recognize the astral or emotional effect of the energy of reality that builds and makes evolve. But symbolism itself is only a temporary form allowing the ego to follow an increasingly progressive line of evolution, but also increasingly restrictive with regard to real intelligence, or the intelligence of reality. Madness is the nourishing land of symbolism, a true garden where all possible symbolism can be cultivated to the advantage of the false self and the advantage of the false personality, under the pretenses of the truth, so that the true self and personality cannot be used to channel real intelligence. This can be called involution. And naturally, imagination becomes the spokesperson or image of madness, so that the one who, by his sensitivity or his astral unbalanced by an unstable emotionality, nourishes this imagination, instead of understanding its laws, is then easily in danger. When the ego undergoes some shock during the course of life, This is why the best tool of the ego, which tends towards a greater inner sensitivity, can use his ability to recognize the importance of symbolism and to monitor it. Because the value of symbolism is provided by the astral or astralizing imagination. Thus his great security is built. Because he prevents his memory from taking control or veiling the intelligence of the true self and the true personality. By monitoring the importance of symbolism, the ego disengages himself from all psychological responsibility towards the false self, and then undertakes the ascent to supramental consciousness, the seat of real intelligence. But this rise towards the supramental often generates in its movement a kind of temporary alienation, due to the fact that the false self is pants down. That is, it is no longer fed by the forms that previously provided its false security. But this temporary little madness is not severe, as long as the ego is emotionally stable and mentally robust. Otherwise, the astral consciousness of the ego can go beyond natural limits and inflict a loss of reason, that is, an emotional inability to deal with the power of the astral consciousness that refuses to withdraw. The struggle between astral memory and real intelligence varies according to each being. But the principle is the same in all cases, the abnegation of the astral value of symbolism. When the ego has discovered the true self and is more and more aware of the true intelligence, symbolism will no longer have any emotional value in itself for him, since the true intelligence does not use emotionality to enlighten the ego in his journey towards reality. If madness uses emotion to conquer man, it is obvious that the astral symbolism it uses must be strictly monitored, regardless of its apparent value. It is here, moreover, that the struggle between false intelligence and real intelligence is located, and the ego must be awakened to this danger. I have already given as an example the cases where certain individuals, in the name of certain religious figures, such as Christ for example, will go into the world and destroy paintings, works of art, because Christ told them that these works of art must be destroyed. It is a precise example of the game of madness in man, where madness uses astral symbolism to awaken in man a power of intention and lead him to acts that are downright anti-men. The more man advances in modern time, the more he sinks into the probability of madness, for the more his astral consciousness takes place in his everyday consciousness, so that the less real intelligence there is in his life. Madness does not have to be total for man to be a victim. It is enough if it goes a little too far beyond the frameworks of harmony required by his person to live a sufficiently balanced life. From this point on, the slightest shock can generate enough anxiety for the madness to begin its insidious movement of inner destruction. Men tend to believe And it is precisely this habit that opens the doors to madness. Because madness uses this human habit. It knows that man is fooled by everything that suits him. And where madness is most effective, it is where it can make man believe that God or Christ or some sublime being encourages him to do this or that. If we look at the sensational annals of dementia, we find more and more this triangularity between the force elements that use the spiritual symbol against man. And man, weak of his real intelligence, that is to say influenceable in his mind, becomes an easy prey of madness. This is why the role of the one who helps the sufferer must coincide with his real intelligence. This intelligence that knows the laws of lies and truth, and that knows that the force elements exchange for each other, in order to trap man and make him powerless. As long as madness will be considered from a materialistic point of view, it will continue to ravage the spirit of the earth and of man. For it comes from the depths of false intelligence, that is, from those worlds where the vibration of light is weakened by the darkness of the astral experience. As long as man will not sufficiently understand the laws of intelligence and realize the function of symbolism, it will be difficult for him to see that the false is true, and that the true is false, in astral consciousness. And that the two are interchangeable according to the intelligence action plan that constitutes the law of that plan. Man is an extremely delicate being in his mind, because his emotional replaces the disturbing action of consciousness. It is easy to be emotional. It is even pleasant, but difficult to live above it. That is, to see the mechanisms that weaken true intelligence. There is much to say about madness because it is vast in its machination, but it is simple in its fundamental mechanism. First, it comes from the influence on man's mind of subtle intelligences hidden behind the veil of subjective thought and evolving in the astral world. Second, it uses emotionality to maintain its power over the mind of man. Third, the lie is true and the truth is false for her, and both are interchangeable. Fourth, it uses sacred symbolism in the Judeo-Christian world to force man to actions that defy the established order. Fifth, it is the perfect illusion within which evil forces or lagging forces manifest themselves. Sixth, it is powerless in its false intelligence against real intelligence. Seventh, it is absolute in its approach against man. That is, it has no reasonable limit in its action, because the astral intelligence is in the darkness of death. Eighth, madness is the intelligence of death. And only those who understand the intelligence of life can dominate it. That is, fight it. Notice that in death, there are those who gravitate towards the light and those who remain trapped in the illusions of their past lives. And it is precisely these beings, who constitute the formative elements that seek to dominate man and impose their will on him, which can only generate disorder, disharmony and hatred on the material level. Madness is to death what intelligence is to life. This is why the intelligence of reality alone can destroy it, can neutralize it. Because the intelligence of reality is the intelligence of life.